Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5. It's KX93.5, it's Laguna's only FM. I don't know, the word legend's thrown around a lot, and I don't know when you step from legend to icon, but I've got a guy on the phone right now who, well, whatever he's done a lot of things. You can just put the words award-winning before it, and it's true, it's not fake news. Songwriter, producer, visual artist, fantastic trumpet player, mega record company executive, the A&M, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, 10 Grammy nominations. Herb Alpert is on the phone right now. Hi, Herb.
Hey, Jason. It's an exciting day for me. I just found out that the new album, Music Volume 1, is number one contemporary jazz album on Billboard. So.
It's number one. I thought I was going to say number four, but it's gone up to number one, hasn't
it? Well, it's number one, and it's number three as a jazz chart, up the jazz chart. So, I mean, you know, I'm excited, man. I was hoping this album would do well because I wanted to make an album that was positive and upbeat, and, you know, a lot of craziness is going on in our country and in the around the world, and I always like to make that music that makes you feel good. You know, I'm not trying to purposely play into anyone's hand. This is the type of music that I felt like I wanted to make for me.
How did you begin making this music? Your most famous probably band is the Tijuana Brass, and that had sort of almost Latin flavor, and of course it's in the name as well. But how did you begin to play? What was your first memories of playing the trumpet?
Oh, man, this is something that I've been really vocal on. I had this incredible opportunity when I was 8 years old at my grammar school here in Los Angeles. There was a music appreciation class. I don't know if it was actually called appreciation class, but it was a music class, and there was a table filled with various instruments. I happened to pick up the trumpet. It just kind of, I was small, and it would just kind of fit and bright, and I couldn't make a sound out of it for a while. But when I finally did, that trumpet was talking for me because I was super shy as a kid. I was an introvert. I still am, but that horn was talking for me, and obviously it changed my life, and I really feel that kids should have some type of creative experience at an early age, whether it's, you know, playing an instrument or dancing or poetry, sculpting, painting, whatever it happens to be. And if they do that, they have a good chance of appreciating their own uniqueness. And if they can do that, fingers crossed, hopefully they can appreciate the uniqueness in others, because we're all different.
Yeah, of course, musical education, arts education is famously underfunded right now. Doesn't look like it's going to get any better. That's a great story, though, because to put stuff in front of kids on a table, it's like how they choose the Dalai Lama, you know. They put three things out in front of him, and he picks the one thing, and that's his direction. But trumpet, it's not an easy instrument to play, though. How did you get, what do they call it? They call it the embouchure. How did you get that?
Yeah, well, I don't think anything's easy to really get good at. I mean, yeah, it's called practice, man. That's how you get to Carnegie Hall. That's the old musician's joke. But, yeah, you have to put in the time. But it's a win-win because, you know, even if you're not going to become a professional writer, actor, musician, or artist, you know, it spills over into the academics, because once you have that discipline of learning to play an instrument, it helps you with your reading, writing, and arithmetic.
When I was a kid growing up, my mom had a copy of This Guy's in Love with You, which I wore out on our old record player, and it spoke to me. I mean, I must have been like 9 years old, or so, I don't know, but that tune really spoke to me. I'd love to know how that whole thing came about.
I got that song from Burt Bacharach. Well, that song has really resonated with lots of people around the world. Now and then people come up to me and says, you know, we got married, I got married to that song. And we were in Hong Kong, and we were in Hawaii, and another couple was in, you know, the different parts of the world, and Beverly Hills. I said, oh, that's really sweet. Are you still married? Oh, no, not to that guy. That usually was 90% of the time that's what happened. Yeah, that song struck a chord because, you know, I don't think of myself as a singer, but we were doing this television show, and the director, Jack Haley Jr., asked me to see if I can find a song I can sing, yeah, I called Bert, who was a friend of mine, and I said, Bert, hey, is there a song you find yourself whistling in the shower that, you know, the guy's written 14 zillion hit records? And he sent me This Girl's in Love with You, which he recorded with Dionne Warwick. Yeah. And I loved the song, so, you know, I called Hal David, and he changed the lyric for me, and boom.
You see this guy, this guy's in love with you. Yes, I'm in love. Who looks at you the way I do? When you smile, I can tell we know each other very well. How can I show you? I'm glad I got to know you, 'cause I've heard some talk. They say you think I'm fine. Yes, I'm in love. And what I'd do to make you mine, tell me now. Is it so? Don't let me be the last to know. My hands are shaking, let my heart break apart. I need your love, I want your love.
Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass there, and This Guy's in Love with You from 1968. And Herb is coming to the Laguna Beach Festival of the Arts and Pageant of the Masters for a special concert and performance, a celebrity benefit event on August 26th. Coming up, tickets are $50 and up. Tickets and info at the Festival of Arts website. That show to help pay for the renovations to the Festival of Arts grounds and the Pageant of the Masters down there in the canyon. And fabulously, Herb Alpert is on the phone with us right now here at KX93.5. Herb, thanks again so much for joining us here on the radio in Laguna Beach, California. Looking forward to you coming to the show there on the 26th of August. Tell us a bit about the beginnings of the Tijuana Brass.
Well, you know, there was no Tijuana Brass. I used to go to bullfights for about 3 years every spring in Tijuana, and there was a brass band. I never listened to mariachi music, but there was this brass band in the stands that would announce the events. You know, like before the bull would come out, these trumpet players would get up and go, ba-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da, bang, the bull would charge out. Yeah. And then they'd have another type of fanfare for the matador and the picadors, and I don't know. I got caught up in that whole thing. I just had a, you know, that feeling was pretty spectacular, and so I was trying to reflect that into a song. And there was a song written by a friend of mine. It wasn't written like that. It wasn't even called The Lonely Bull. It was originally called Twinkle Star. It didn't sound anything like the way it ended up, but no, I was just using musicians of my my choice for the first few years. I don't know if people have seen the Wrecking Crew movie.
Yeah, we've seen it. Yeah, absolutely.
There were a lot of the people in the Wrecking Crew were part of my original Tijuana Brass, and I didn't get a group together until after I recorded the Whipped Cream and Other Delights album.
Wow, that's interesting. So you're also multi-tracking as well. How did you learn to do that side of things, the technical engineering side of things?
Oh, well, I watched engineers. I mean, before A&M and before... I recorded for a major record company before A&M. But even before that, I was working for a little company, Keen Records. At the time, my partner was Lou Adler, and we used to write songs together, and then we got to watch the great Sam Cooke. We became friends with Sam. We wrote a song with Sam that you might recognize.
Yeah, Wonderful World. Yeah.
Don't know much about history. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I watched Sam and I watched his style because he came out of the gospel field. He was the lead singer with a group called the Soul Stirs. And... he used to say, you know, people are just listening to a cold piece of wax, buddy. He says, either makes it or don't. You know, it's kind of a simple way of putting it. But, yeah, he was right. He says, man, just don't get swayed by, you know, the way somebody looks. If they can, if they're extremely good looking or they can dance and do all that, just listen to the music. Close your eyes and see if it touches you. And so, you know, I was always looking at music from that point of view. And I developed this technique as a producer and as a musician. When I listen to even my own records, as I'm making them, I become an audience to them. I don't listen to the trumpet player. I listen to the overall feeling. And that's what I'm trying to put out there, just a feeling. Because I think art is all about feeling. I don't think it's about anything else. I think it's about how it feels.
Listening to KX 93.5, it's Laguna's Only FM. We're talking about making music with the great Herb Alpert, who is on the phone with us. He's coming to Laguna Beach for a live show with Lanny Hall singing on August 26th at the Festival of Arts as a benefit for the Festival of Arts and the Pageant of the Masters Building Fund. The show starts at 6 p.m. Tickets and information can be found at the Festival of Arts website. As I say, Herb Alpert is on the phone with us right now. Herb, you mentioned the album Whipped Cream and Other Delights. Amongst the many things that you are famous for, that was a big thing. It's a very sexy sleeve, a photograph of a woman, naked woman, all covered in whipped cream. Very racy and, shall we say, controversial when it came out in 65.
Well, yeah, that cover got a lot of reaction, and then when we do concerts, we've been doing concerts with my wife for the last 11 years, and people always come up to me about that, talk about that album. I mean, Jason, you're not going to believe this. This really happened. Guy comes up to me after that album was released a couple of months, and he says, man, Mr. Alpert, you know that Whipped Cream and Other Delights cover? I said, yeah. He says, I love it. I think it's the best picture and cover of an album I've ever seen. And I just want to thank you so much. I said, well, thank you very much. What about the music itself? He says, well, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
No.
Yeah, that actually happened.
Well, the music, I always think that your trumpet sound and the sort of production or the arrangements are as sexy as that picture. There's something sort of perennially hip and very sexy about your trumpet sound, and it's a no frills, very melodic sound. And I've picked up a trumpet once in a while, and sexy is not the word you would use to describe what I'm doing, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I don't think you can try to be sexy. I think you are what you are. You know, I think this is the main thing that all artists should be looking for. You got to try to find your own voice and how you do it.
Yeah.
When I play a song that's familiar to others, a standard song, I'm very conscious of the lyric, and I try to play that lyric through the instrument. So if it's sexy, great. If it's not, I don't know. But it's just, I just try to be myself is what I'm trying to say.
It's KX93.5. I'm talking with Herb Alpert, 10 times nominated for a Grammy, artist, sculptor, trumpet player, songwriter, and the A in A&M Records. His latest album, Music Volume 1, just made number one on the Billboard Contemporary Jazz Album Chart. It's an incredible achievement at the beginning of somebody's career. Most people sort of drop off, but you've continued to wow us over the years. Big time record last year. And this year, Music Volume 1. Tell us about the making of this record.
Well, I wanted to pick out a bunch of songs that, you know, that touch me. And I wanted to make a positive album. I thought the mood of the country is a little strange at the moment. And I wanted to make music that was uplifting and on the positive side of life. And
with the arrangements, you really do reinvent these songs. A great version of Michelle, My Bell, on the record. Are you collaborating with other guys, or do you write the charts yourself, or how do those feels come about?
Well, on this particular record, I worked with Joachim van der Sarg, and he's from the Netherlands. He lives in Malibu now, but he and I got together. He lives about 9 minutes from my home, and I don't know, I liked his way of putting grooves and sounds together. So he's greatly responsible for the sound of this record. You know, speaking of Michelle, I got this beautiful email from Paul McCartney, who wrote Michelle, who loved it. He loved my version, which really made me feel good, because obviously, you know, I don't want to ruin anyone's composition, and he happened to really dig it.
Yeah. Well, you have a long history, don't you, with the Beatles? I read somewhere that your first gig in London was promoted by Brian Epstein.
Well, it was, and we had a party at Brian's apartment when the Beatles were there, and that's when I first met them, and every now and then someone asks me, do you regret anything in your career? I said, yeah. I mean, when A&M started in 1962, my partner Jerry Moss, you know, the Beatles were free, and they were looking for a label. I said, wow, if I had known what they were going to turn into, I would have flown over to London and see if I could corral them to record for A&M, but that was that.
Yeah, you're not alone in that one. I think there's a lot of people still out there who are, you know, probably painting walls or plumbing now that wish they'd signed the Beatles back then.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my goodness. I mean, they really, they made a mark, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm talking to Herb Alpert, who's he's coming to Laguna Beach, I should say, on August 26th for the Celebrity Benefit event at the Festival of Arts. This is something absolutely not to be missed. Purchase tickets at the Festival of Arts website there. It's going to be a glorious and celebrity-filled event, and we're very excited that you're coming, Herb. And, I could talk to you. I mean, I would love to talk to you all day, but I know you're busy, and so are we. Listen, we're very excited, and we are, I should tell you, an old-school radio station here, and people send us music like you used to do back in the 60s, and we play it just because we like it. So you really are sort of a mentor to us.
Hey, Jason, thanks so much. I'm sorry that the trumpet didn't work out for you.
I've got news for you. My wife's sitting right opposite us right now. When you said, well, you can't try to be sexy, she just sort of like nodded her head and then shook
it. Well, that's true, you know. Some people try real hard, you know, and it doesn't work that way. And other people, that just oozes out of them. I don't even think about it. I just try to be me. And I think that's the key to why I've been able to hang on for so many years.
Fabulous. Well, we're very excited to see you and Lonnie on August 26th here in Laguna. And you have a wonderful day, sir, and we'll meet you when you come to town.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much. Good morning.
The great Herb Alpert there on KX 93.5.